Tracy is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed, it ain't hard to define. Yes, he's got himself a girl and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes.
We've been, we've been working on trying to get the Beulah Interchange, you know, to happen. We've gotten, over the last few years, we've gotten a lot of help from DOT in trying to advance that project. It's the number one priority for our area, for the Transportation Planning Group. We had hopes that the fifth year of the five-year work program this summer would have the construction of that interchange in that. It did not, for whatever reason.
That means that work that will actually happen scheduled in the next 5 years does not include turning dirt on the Beulah Interchange, at least not yet, according to Stephen Berry. This is at the town hall that he did last week.
They have funded the right-of-way acquisition, the planning, everything up until the actual construction. As many of you know, construction prices over the last 3 or 4 or 5 years have escalated tremendously, and the construction estimate that they ended up with was nearly twice what it was estimated 5 years ago.
Yeah, and it was bad to begin with.
I did, have some conversations with them last week and have been assured that the construction would get put into the fifth year of the work program this summer. So that gives us a pretty decent idea that we're looking at construction beginning on the interchange probably 6 years from now. But
do you hear the reaction to that? Like, people just can't believe it. This interchange.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
6 years?
It's going to start.
Oh, I thought he was joking. So I was like,
no. They were either nervous laughter or I can't believe it. We've been, this project is supposed to be a couple of years away for as long as I've lived here, basically. Not quite, but, close to that.
Yeah.
And, I know federal things take a long time, and I know FDOT takes a long time, but he's serious. It's going to start in 6 years. So this half century, it might be done. that's kind of where we're at. Just crazy, but okay. So, the tone of this meeting was aggressive. The people were not happy. They did not like the answers they were getting. A lot of them were very angry, particularly in the big way about development, about, the basic problem of plopping all these houses down and not having the schools and the stormwater and the roads and other kinds of infrastructure to handle all of this new development. So somebody asks the question that I think all of us ask in our heads.
Didn't anybody learn anything when the Navy Federal came in and it was a zoo down highway, 9 Mile until they made it 4 lanes?
Did nobody learn from the lesson of Navy Federal? You can't just plop a bunch of people in a place and say, figure it out, because it creates chaos. And now, all these years later, finally got 9 Mile widened. We're now 6 years out from the Beulah Interchange being fixed, but you guys keep not learning the lesson.
Why aren't we putting in the roads, then allow all these homes, apartment complexes, and everything else to be built?
All right, so Andy.
Why don't we build the roads first? Why don't we provide for the capacity before we have the stress on all the other infrastructure? Well, his answer was, we just can't do it that way.
The idea about building the roads before the infrastructure comes, that's something, and I've had to say this a few times in a few settings, that it sounds like a very good idea. The reality ends up being that we have needs that exceed the financial resources that we have currently. And this is needs for resurfacing, for dirt road paving, for improvements on areas that exist.
Wait a minute. No, this is not a surprise. Okay, this is something that Commissioner Underhill, when he was in office, was banging the drum about continuously, that to really properly maintain the roads in Escambia County, if I remember correctly, his figure was $17 million to properly handle the roads every year, to which we spend $5 million. Okay, so what Stephen Berry is saying is we can't afford to maintain the stuff we already got. We cannot afford the stuff we already have. To which the logical response is, well, then either find a way to maintain the stuff we've already got, or you got to stop obligating us to maintain more things. If we're already behind, again, he's been on the board for, 11 years now, so this is his problem, right? He's not brand new to the board. He can't say somebody else failed.
the likelihood of having an elected board as you have with, you know, with me as your representative currently, the likelihood of having an elected board allocate $5-10 million to a road that doesn't have a need currently is not likely. So these are, it's an unfortunate circumstance, but it's the truth. We have needs that need to be done, and, you know, putting a road in through the woods is not, it's just realistically, it's not going to happen.
What about a road through the woods where they've clear cut the woods because they're going to put a couple hundred houses there? How about that, Commissioner? I mean, this is a stunning admission. He's saying, look, we've been screwing up a long time and I haven't fixed it because we don't have enough money to spend and we're not willing to spend the money on the roads that we need to be spending. And so therefore, we also can't plan ahead. We're so far behind on our bills that it's impossible for us to make any headway on our savings accounts. We can't plan ahead because we're so far behind, and it's an elected board, and he likes to brag about being willing, able to get the votes that he needs, but apparently he can't convince his fellow commissioners that, you know, what Escambia County needs to do is we need to actually pay our bills and we need to plan ahead. You know, an elected board isn't going to go along with me on this, on, you know, this sort of straw man version of the argument, building a road through a forest for a future subdivision.
You know, whether it be Pine Forest, West Roberts Road, I mean, we have needs that exist currently on the system, and it's just not likely you're going to have elected officials that are going to allocate large chunks of money to projects that aren't currently needed for what might happen in the future.
Well, how about leadership? I mean, why don't you ask? Why don't you say, you know, fellas, this isn't working, and we need to do something different. We need to do something different. This is what I'm hearing from my people. We all know this is a problem. We need to do this differently. No, with the elected board, you know, they're not going to do it. Where's the leadership? And if you're not willing to lead on this issue, maybe somebody else will. We'll come back to this in a second. 717 on News Radio 92.3. This town hall was bad for Stephen Bear. There was a lot of very angry people there about this stuff, asking these questions and getting completely inadequate answers from him. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by New South Window Solutions and Avalon Boulevard clear through Garcon Point Bridge. Traffic on I-10 east and westbound. Traveling at posted speeds right now. No slowdowns reported on Gulf Breeze Parkway east or westbound. 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. So back to Stephen Barry in this town hall. I mean, what I suspect his answer would be something along these lines. Well, we got to build these new houses so we can get the ad valorem taxes from these new houses so that we can pay to pave the roads that we already haven't been paving for 15 and 20 years. Acquire more debt? Metaphorical debt? Acquire more obligations? You know? Assets and liabilities? Acquire more liabilities? That's the way you're going to build your way out of this problem? Bull. There's an acronym. There's a word. Nonsense. That's crazy.
But yet, you're saying in your own words.
Oh, sorry. I don't know if I played this clip, and I apologize, but I want to make sure I do play it.
You know, whether it be Pine Forest, West
Rock. Okay, I did play that one. All right. Okay. So somebody says from the audience, wait a minute now. You're telling me we can't afford what we've got, and you want to let thousands of homes be built on this already failing system and create more problems and therefore more liability for more spending having to be done, so we're going to fall even farther behind?
But yet, you're saying, and in your own words, you just said that the county right now is straining on maintaining the roads and everything they have now. So how in the world are you going to add 8,000 to 12,000 different places up here in the north end of the county and maintain that when you can't even maintain what you got now? How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
That answer? I mean, it's not an answer, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good point, sir. Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. Like, whatever. Like, but that's the point. Your answer is, well, I can't do anything. Well, okay. I understand that zoning may come with certain, what he calls entitlements, what, you know, you might think of somebody as, you know, they're allowed to build a certain number of homes because of zoning, let's say, on a land. Well, why does zoning have to be the only thing? Road capacity is not a really complicated one to figure out. Why don't we have a land development code that says something like this? In order to get a permit to build, you have to have the relevant zoning to justify that construction and the road capacity to handle the cars that that construction will put on. And maybe while you're at it, you know, you could have, for example, you know, storm sewer water management could be a part of that. That one's not that hard to figure out. I mean, you might like to also have schools. You might like to also have law enforcement. And this is the conversation about impact fees, right? But forget the, like, where are you going to raise the revenue? Who are you going to charge for it? How about just the basic idea that you're not allowed to build until, as opposed to, oh, we're going to build and then figure it out later, which we don't figure it out later.
Well, now you're talking about 8,000 to 12,000 people. You're going to cram them up here in the north end of county with $2 generals, a Tom Thumb, and Jimmy Buffet up here, and one school. And the school at Millennial Park Elementary is at capacity. You don't have school bus drivers. You don't have the infrastructure up here to do what y'all are proposing to do. You ain't got it.
So, you know, back to the, not dissimilar to the conversation about Robinson's Mill. I mean, the county is not proposing to do anything. So it's not the county proposing something. But if some of the question is about whether...
You're allowing it to happen.
He says you're allowing it to happen.
You're allowing it.
Well, I understand being upset. I would gauge the degree of unhappiness by what does happen, not what's proposed to happen.
Yeah, but he's right. You're allowing it to happen. You're failing to plan. You're failing to lead. You're blaming somebody else. You're saying it's we can't afford it. It's not my fault. It's FDOT or it's the people or it's the zoning or it's the entitlements or, dude, this is your job. This is your job, and people are livid, and rightly so. If you can't do it, maybe somebody else will. And, you know, saying, well, I understand the emotion.
I understand being upset.
That's reasonably upset for reasons. Saying, well, you know, I understand why people are upset. He doesn't even say I understand why. I understand that you're upset. That's not an answer. 437-1620. So this did not get an awful lot of attention when it happened last week. I went back and watched it just the other day, and I thought, wow, this is big, important stuff. And now I understand why, you know, I think Stephen Barry is concerned about his job in the future. I think that if he's paying attention, Jeff Bergosh has got to be concerned about his job next year. And Lumen May won by 90% last year, but he's up for re-election last year. And at some point, people are going to start to say, you know, somebody's got to fix this problem. Because what's the alternative? We asked it in Future News. We're going to cut back on development. We're going to raise taxes or, I mean, reallocate money maybe, okay? Or do nothing and you just continue to suck it up and suffer. Oh, and I love this comment. This is about a different topic, but...
Well, I don't like being on the 6 o'clock news.
Me neither, so for whatever it's worth. I do my best to stay off of the news.
Well, welcome to primetime, honey. 723 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
We interrupt the normal Strength for Life program schedule for an important message from the teen program at Northstone Baptist Church. School is back in session, but according to the calendar, it's still summer. With this in mind, Northstone is hosting a water activity this Saturday, September 9th, so teens from 7th graders to seniors can celebrate the end of summer in style. The activity is from noon to 2:30 on Northstone Baptist Church's 11 acres. We'll play a variety of slip and slide games on 3,000 square feet of tarp, and we'll feed everybody for free. Northstone Baptist Church is located in Northwest Pensacola near the intersection of Pine Forest and 9 Mile. The activity is open to everyone from 7th to 12th grade. Come join us this Saturday from noon to 2:30 at Northstone Baptist Church. For more information about the church, visit northstonebaptist.org. To learn more about our weekly Strength for Life programs, videos, and other media, visit strengthforlife.church or our YouTube channel, Strength for Life Pensacola.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that?
No, Sensei.
No mercy.
Green Puff, Johnny. 7:26 on News Radio 92.3.
Hey, but who was the real winner? You're a martial artist. Did Johnny use the proper ways?
No, not within the rules. No,
that's what I'm saying. So, really, is he the Karate Kid or is he the fake? Well, that's from How I Met Your Mother.
If I had to fight the one of them, I would rather fight LaRusso than Johnny. Frankly. 7:27 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Candy's got traffic for you.
Oh, yeah. So as we take a look around, good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays right now. Again, all exits off I-10, I-110 reporting as clear. Taking a look at Gulf Beach Highway, they're not showing any delays. Dog Track Road also clear. No issues on Blue Angel either. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Oh, man, we have a ton of texts on this Stephen Berry Town Hall. Let's see. Somebody here says his attitude toward the situation, the people's voice at this town hall was terrible. Somebody here says then Commissioner Berry's quit selling the county out to developers who will just make the problem worse, only to pad your own pockets. I understand the sentiment and I understand contributions to the campaign. But to imply that he's taking bribes, I won't go there. That's not appropriate. But I understand the other argument, right? It should be mandatory these commissioners attend Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University to get this debt under control. Oh, hallelujah to that. As someone who lives in Barry's district, this town hall does not surprise me. Every time we've emailed him a concern or tried to contact him, he never responded. I'm truly surprised he's still in office. Frankly, I was surprised he did the town hall. I mean, honestly, 437-1620. Somebody says, this is mean. I shouldn't. Commissioner Berry sounds like AI learning to speak for the first time. he does have a certain way of talking. This one says he lies all the time. The only true thing he said the entire meeting was admitting the county can't provide resources to fix the current issues. Never mind adding more resin to the problem. This entire meeting was just blowing smoke. He's trying to save face to be reelected. He's not good for our community in the pockets of big builders. Yeah, I think he is worried about getting reelected. That's the only reason I can think of why he would do this and, you know, kind of take all of these comments. 437-1620, 437-1620. Steve's got our headlines for us this morning. Steve?
Well, a Fulton County, Georgia Superior Court judge is scheduling a hearing today in the 2020 presidential election interference case. The hearing's to decide on severing some of the defendants from the main case in hopes of speeding up the trial process. All 19 defendants in former President Trump's Georgia case are pleading not guilty. Sizzling heat wave hitting the U.S. this week. They're expecting mid to upper 90s temperatures. A lot of people sweating in Philadelphia, New York, but it's kind of like the kind of normal days we have here for about 6 months, right? Between May and October. Yeah, and those are your headlines.
All right, thanks so much, Steve. 729 News Radio 92.3. Somebody asked the question, could a developer or an owner legally be denied property rights if they meet LDC and DRC? Well, but that's the point. The LDC could be changed to include some of the things that I was talking about, right? You could change those rules, and that's what a lot of people are calling for, especially with talk about concurrency and, you know, we'll agree to it. Because, again, in that meeting, he didn't say, you know, this needs to be fixed. You're right. This needs to be fixed. And here's what I want to do about it. None of that. Just, you know, I hear your anger. Well, that's not adequate. Hey, if you need to fix anything in your house with plumbing, Barberry Plumbing, flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall, water pressure, water temperature, plumbing, 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer with a new round of subpoenas for Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle, and other officials, claiming the Secret Service told the Biden transition team about the planned Hunter Biden tax probe interview in 2020.
The IRS investigation into Hunter Biden, which, as we've heard from the IRS whistleblowers, was leading directly to Joe Biden, was obstructed.
Comer on Fox's Hannity. Tropical Storm Lee rapidly building strength in the Atlantic.
Lee right now has peak winds at 150 miles per hour by this weekend. That's just shy of a Cat 5. You can't afford to not watch this closely because it's just too close of a call.
Fox weather meteorologist Brenda Merwin and Secretary of State Antony Blinken visiting Ukraine there to announce another $1 billion in military assistance. That, according to a senior State Department official. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31, 77 degrees, mostly clear in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. The Navarre Community Access Road, which is a possible South Santa Rosa County crosstown alternative route to ease congestion on U.S. 98, has inched a little closer toward becoming a reality. That's according to a report in the Pensacola News Journal. Santa Rosa County Commissioners voted last month to award a contract to Volkert Incorporated to conduct a study that was needed to move the proposal forward. Back in 2019, a feasibility study was conducted to see if a connector road running east to west just north of 98 and south of the Navy outlying landing field Holly at Whiting Naval Air Station would divert local traffic from U.S. 98 and relieve the congestion. Volkert, which conducted the feasibility study, came up with two possible connector road alternatives for the county's consideration. Following last week's deadly shooting at the Essex Point Apartments, Escambia Sheriff deputies still haven't been able to determine a motive there.
That's the peculiar part about this. We always look for, you know, the why, and in this case, we didn't get anything. And that's why kind of my comment about a relatively normal morning, there wasn't even based on what we have gathered, there wasn't even an argument. It was a normal morning. She pleasantries with her mother, and then she came in with a gunshot, and then she took the keys and left.
That's from Sheriff Chip Simmons. He says prosecutors are working to determine if 15-year-old Sunshine James can be tried as an adult. James is accused of shooting at her mother before fatally shooting her mother's fiancé. Black Bears and Gulf Breeze, Midway and Navarre are causing some safety concerns for some of the residents. One homeowner in Gulf Breeze says she's been dealing with bears for years. Chris Proxon says the bears cut through her yard looking for food.
They walk right out there. They have. And the bear just stands up, you know. And that's an aggressive sign when they do that. We don't go outside at all at night.
One local resident fears the problem will only get worse due to the overdevelopment in the area. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says the bears are generally not aggressive, and seeing one in your neighborhood is not necessarily a cause for concern. Let's check our forecast from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Beautiful day today with a high near 91 degrees, 20% chance of a stray shower or thunderstorm. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. This nice summer pattern continues for Thursday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 92. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Morning Weather Center.
Yeah, right now, let's check in with Candy Collison for traffic on the 5.
The only slowdown I'm seeing besides that schools and traffic lights and everything, 29 it looks like between 10 Mile and West Roberts Road. I'm not showing an accident, but I am showing just a complete stop. It looks like a block in that area, so something may have happened. Certainly, if you know, let us know, and certainly text in your traffic tips at 437-1620. We're on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks, Candy. Right now, it's a sunny 77 in Pensacola, 79 in Gulf Breeze, and 73 in Milton at 735. The next news is at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Dominion Energy has announced plans to sell several of its natural gas distribution companies to Enbridge for $9.4 billion as it focuses on investing in renewable energy and improving the electric grid. Enbridge, a Calgary, Alberta-based pipeline operator, has agreed to pay $9.4 billion in cash and assume $4.6 billion in debt to acquire the gas distribution companies, which operate pipeline networks in Ohio, North Carolina, and parts of the West. The sale comes as lawmakers and regulators debate the future of natural gas and more towns and cities look to reduce its use in homes and businesses. Crate and Barrel is investing in artificial intelligence technology that will support delivery of a seamless, personalized customer experience. The specialty home furnishings retailer is launching a multi-year investment plan called Bring It Home, focused on what it says will be a significant spending on talent, technology, and infrastructure. On Wall Street, futures a bit lower. That's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Friday morning at 10:30, join Santa Rosa Animal Services on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every life is precious and that every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back, adopting or fostering a furry friend. Discover the resources you need to make your community a better place for pets. That's Friday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Deep climbing.
Picked off! He brought it down with one hand!
Johnson goes down! Sack!
This is your home for FSU football.
Watch it deep downfield! Punch! Touchdown! FSU!
Rolling to his left, they're going to throw. End zone!
Picked off! Game over!
Catch live coverage of the Seminoles all season long right here on your home for Florida State football.
Listen to FSU football on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing Jackson's cooking class, Atlas beverage class, Jackson's open for lunch, Atlas Oyster House, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:38, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I've got D.C. Reeves on the line. He is the mayor of Pensacola, in case you hadn't heard, and doing a pretty good job of it, by my estimation. He joins us every Wednesday at this time. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, let's start with the easy, hard stuff first. You ready?
Let's do it.
Why do you want to put 5 speed tables in on East Cross Street? What's wrong with you? Come on now.
again, you're giving me another Curb Your Enthusiasm moment as mayor, is because what I asked was, let's make sure everybody wants one. And we have a very meticulous process about how to do that. We don't just wake up one day and come put one in. Because if you've heard me at town halls, I talk about all the time. Everyone wants a speed table till we put it in, and then they call and say how loud the speed table is, as the neighbors. But we walk through there, we have to have at least 75% people approve it. And of course, at Cross Street, we've had significant, people flying through there through East Hill. So we have done all of the things through the protocol that we should do to make sure that this is, one, qualified to put it here, two, that the residents want it. And again, that the need's there and all of those things. So we've gone through that process. I made sure of that before we decided to do that. And that's what the community wants. And again, the need is there. And so that's what we'll do. put them in.
Are they going to be the kind, because there's all different kinds of speed humps, speed bumps, speed, you know, all kinds of things. Are these going to be the ones where genuinely if you drive across them at the speed limit, your car is fine? Or are these going to be ones that require you to slow down below the speed limit in order to get over the speed table?
Right. Well, I don't know exactly, to be honest with you. I don't know which one they are that they're okay. putting in. You know, obviously, I would always defer to the Public Works, you know, on what they what they're going to put in. Ironically, I'm literally going over one right now downtown. But
how'd you like that? Was that fun?
Yeah, it was nice and quiet, just like you like. you know, so. But yeah, so we'll see. But again, remember that, you know, we've got a lot of experience of putting these in, both good and bad, even well-intended, and then having complaints and all that. So I'm sure, you know, I have a lot of trust in our team that we're doing the right thing, putting the right material in that has the happy medium between people flying through East Hill, as well as, you know, something that is palatable for the neighbor.
All right, last question on this, only because these are a unique pet peeve of mine. When you talk to David or whoever, Forte or whoever, do they tell you that speed tables actually work to reduce speed in neighborhoods? Because I've never been a believer in them being effective, because they only make people slow down at the speed bump and not in the in-betweens. But maybe they shovel traffic onto another street where you create a problem somewhere else. But I'm asking, do your experts tell you that they – and I know it's not your choice that 75% is the residents picked and all that. I'm just saying, do your experts tell you that speed tables work?
Yes, and also some of the homework that's done is homework that alleviates the concern you're talking about, which is if we put a – it's not just about the speed table on the street. If we put a speed table on street A, then what happens? Does everybody go around it? Those are things, of course, that we look at. Same with a stop sign. You know, if you put a stop sign on X road, then what happens to the roads around it? That, you know, and what is the consequence? So – yes, those are all things that we look at. And, you know, with the series of five of them, put it this way, we're in a better situation than we were the day before we put them in terms of the speeding right now and the lack of stop signs and the fact that particular road, people can just be flying through there.
Got it.
So we'll see how it goes. I think that puts us in a better situation than we were in before.
One of the other things that's going on the agenda for next week, and I thought this was interesting because I'm interested to see what the rationale is for it. You've got a new ordinance proposed prohibiting the obstruction of sidewalks, essentially preserving a 36-inch path on any sidewalk. What's the reason for this? What problem are you trying to solve? Tell me, like, kind of what is this all about?
Well, really, this is already existing requirement by us. This is a federal ADA requirement to leave pathways clear, especially so in some of our urban area, downtown areas. We're seeing issues, whether it be somebody who has a license to use that has tables out front, whether there's objects you know, blocking the way. We're starting as there's more activity, there's more things that prohibit what our requirement is. So this isn't creating a new rule. It's a rule that's already on the books. Ultimately, it gives us an ability to enforce a rule. And before people say, hey, we're going to write tickets to people, you know, standing out on the street or who leave their bike or restaurants that leave their that have tables in the way. Number one, again, that's already a rule that should be complying with. And number two, as the ordinance states, the first ask is to correct the mistake. This is not a gotcha game. This is about us being able to be compliant with what we're already required by federal law to be compliant to. This just gives us the ability that if you continually do so, then we have an additional layer of enforcement that isn't in place.
And it does specifically read in the ordinance, no person shall be in violation of this law unless they receive, at the time the obstruction is occurring, a minimum of one verbal warning followed by a reasonable time to readjust, relocate, or move. So when I first read this, and it might just be the sort of interpretive baggage that I bring to the exercise, but when I first read this, I read this as an anti-panhandling, is what it seemed to me. It seemed to be homeless. And I thought, well, you know, okay, there's the scooters. And then you mentioned this morning the tables that might be out cluttering the right away. And I'm thinking about mobility issues, people in wheelchairs and things like that. Is it in all of those? Is there one of those that's really driving this? Your comment, like, what is the
focus?
It's
all of them. I mean, look, as part of a growing city, a growing downtown that gets busier and busier, that's something that we all enjoy. That's something that's great. At the end of the day, if you've got tables in a way, if you've got your bicycle in a way, if a person's laying in the way, this isn't targeted to any one person, whether that was Andrew McKay or D.C. Reeves or anyone.
Did you just invite me to go lay on the sidewalk on Palafox with you? Is that what
yes,
I?
Yes, don't do it, Andrew.
Well, I mean, hey, you know, I don't know how busy your weekends are, but
we can find time.
But at the end of the day, this is something we are required by law to be compliant to. That's all we're saying. So at the end of the day, what use is it to have that without anything on the books that says, hey, if this becomes a continual issue, and we're going to be sending letters to everyone who has licenses to use. I had one when I had the brewery. It was with the state of Florida because it's on a state road. But you're required to do that. I mean, and you see that sometimes on the weekends as well. So it's also for the commercial businesses to make sure that they're following the rule that they know exists already.
We're talking to Mayor.
So that's where we're at, and you know, I think it'll be good.
We're talking to Mayor. Thank you. Sorry about that. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
There is a stop. It looks like a block between 10 Mile and West Roberts Road. That's southbound on Highway 29, and then 98 in Gulf Breeze slow and possibly stopped near Avalon and Gulf Breeze. And again, this is westbound, and it's backed up to Soundside Drive. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. No reports on anybody lying down on the sidewalk on Palafox Street or anything? No. Okay. All right. Just checking.
I know I can't get through there with all the panhandlers on the sidewalk.
True. Yeah, that's the
but,
issue.
You know, whatever.
One of the other things that you've got coming up on the meeting next week is to dedicate a pretty significant chunk of 9th Avenue for Lewis Bear Jr. as Lewis Bear Jr. Way, right?
Yeah, and that's through started by the state. The state of Florida, that's a state road. So this is kind of our part of it, of that state road obligation. But we've talked about, I know many people in this community have talked about the impact that Lewis and his family have had, on this community and a name I've known, since I can ever remember, and certainly, a force for this community, an advocate, especially pretty fitting. It's a state road because that's he was as good a representative for this community at the state level, especially more than anyone I can think of. So, kind of fulfilling our part of this state road designation, and certainly happy to do so.
So that'll be what, Cervantes all the way to Bayfront. And I'm still not sure what the rename of Bayfront for, like, Pensacola Police Department, Memorial, whatever. But so will the street signs actually become Lewis Bear Jr. Way, like when you're cross, or will it stay as 9th Avenue and it's an honorary designation?
Correct. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Thanks for asking that. Just as for clarification, like the Fallen Heroes Highway is what you're referring
to in terms
of Bayfront. Same thing. If you go right before, just westbound of the port, if you're going eastbound on Main, you'll see the Fallen Heroes Highway sign. It's one of those state designations.
Okay.
You will not change. You know, people who live on the street or have businesses on the street aren't changing their address or anything like that.
And the only reason I ask, I mean, certainly a well-appropriate personage to have a road designated after him, but, you know, we always have the conversation about how many, you know, six names for Bayou, Brent, Michigan, whatever. We don't need to be extra chunking roads into new names. And for the directions part, I was kind of concerned about that. Speaking of downtown, 17th Avenue, and you and I have talked about this many times, but we've kind of talked about pieces of the puzzle. There's a pretty comprehensive map on the agenda because there's a lot of things happening around the trestle, the boat ramp, and a boardwalk that's going to be built so people don't have to die trying to cross under the trestle on 9th Avenue. And also in coordination with the chimes and the warning for the bridge. What are you doing here?
Right. Well, we're trying to put all of the things that are much needed down there and bring them in for a landing. You guys have heard me say ad nauseum about it's time to take care of the things we have. I couldn't think of a better example than Wayside Park. It's in disrepair. And I mean, I wouldn't bring my family down there. You probably wouldn't bring your family down there right now in the state that it's in. And that's our obligation, to take the things that we have and make them what they should be. And so we've got some money set aside, in the $1.2, $1.3 million area, which is not enough to complete everything all the way to the fishing bridge. But that's our intent. I feel confident enough that we'll get the remaining funding through other sources, potentially FDOT resiliency dollars for the seawall and other things. I was asked about FEMA. You know, we're 3 years in with FEMA. The number is going down. Then Skanska comes up, and then you know I'm kind of getting exhausted with that process. So we're moving forward. If we'll continue to work with FEMA, if the FEMA dollars come through, we'll look at it. But we got to get moving. And but yes, it's to bring all of these things we've talked about: the chimes to protect the bridge. We were able to negotiate with the new rail company about getting the walkthrough under the trestle closer to the water to make that a much safer crossing. The boat launch itself. I mean, the asphalt under the boat launch the proper material wasn't put in place. So it's just crumbling if you see it, and it doesn't look good. So we're going to get all of that worked out all at once to make sure we don't put the chimes in, then have to take them out for a new curb and then put them back in,
yeah,
et cetera. We're going to do all of this in one fell swoop.
And I am certainly a supporter of the boardwalk thing. I don't know how many people are going to be willing to go that extra 100 feet or whatever, 150 feet out of their way to use it. But, I mean, I certainly support it, and I think it'll be a beautiful amenity when we get it done. So, you know, good luck. And let's say good luck on, you know, people actually using it once it's done. We always like to end with the lightning round, Mr. Mayor. My lightning questions for you. Does D.C. Reeves ever sleep in a public place like, say, I don't know, at an airport or a library or a park bench? Do you ever sleep in public?
No, I just can't. I'm not a good sleeper on a plane, in a car. I need a traditional setup to get some Z's.
In your own car, parked on like the side of the road, ever?
Nope. Or as a passenger.
Especially not
as a driver. Yeah.
Oh, man, as the passenger, I'm out. that's why my wife drives, so I can see. Is your speaking of driving, is your dashboard squeaky, sparkling, clean, or does it have, let's just say, clutter? Does it have stuff on the dashboard?
There is stuff right now. There's my something for my doctor's office and the City of Pensacola parking pass that I'm supposed to have put on a couple months ago. Those are the two things I've got there right now.
That's your mayor's badge is what that is. Do you judge people for having a cluttered dashboard?
No, but how could I? I don't keep as clean a car as I should. You know, I part of showing you how hard I'm working.
I gotcha. And so last thing is, yesterday was National Cheese Pizza Day. Is cheese pizza ever the best pizza order?
No, I mean, it's not, but again, you know, with kids, I eat a lot more cheese pizza
than
I did maybe 10 years ago. So no, absolutely not. You got to have something on there.
Thank you.
You know, pepperoni jalapeno.
That's directed at you, Candy, by the way.
You still have my vote.
What'd you say, jalapeno and what?
I said pepperoni and jalapeno is kind of my go-to.
Oh, all right. A little extra. That's a little different. Not spicy, though. I like it. I admire the boldness.
That's an admirable
it's
pizza.
A bold choice, Cotton.
Right.
I hope it works out for him. D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. He joins us every Wednesday. Mayor, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
752 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We've got a relatively new advertiser with the station, and that is ProHealth Florida. Locally owned, female owned, 35 years providing health care to people right here in this area. Best of the Bay, best of the coast, best of Pensacola, Gulf Breeze by the Whataburger, Santa Rosa Beach, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, Pensacola on Summit Boulevard, and Pensacola on College Parkway behind the Sam's Club. And basically, this is a health care clinic for you. Primary care, urgent care. There's walk-ins from 8 to 4 in Gulf Breeze in Pensacola and Fort Walton, and on Saturday, 8 to 1 in Pensacola next to the Sam's Club. Lab work, occupational health screens, comprehensive medical weight loss program, and particularly one of the things that they focus on is they'll work with you if you don't have insurance. In fact, they've got a medical membership at $45 a month. The ProHealth medical membership includes unlimited primary care visits with zero copay, 24/7 teledoc services, annual physical, annual flu shot, lab work discount, procedures discount, 25% in both cases, and no catches. So if any of that appeals to you or just need health care and maybe don't have the traditional insurance, ProHealth FL, there for you, ProHealthFL.com, or just stop by a location.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio 92.3 reminds you that hurricane season is underway. Forecasters are predicting another above normal year for storms. And the Generator Guys are your local generator provider. Are you prepared? Don't be caught without power for days or even weeks. When the storm hits, you should be 1 week ready. And the News Radio 92.3 crew will be live and local with storm coverage on your radio, on your phone, and online. News Radio 92.3 and the Generator Guys are there for you.
News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Arriba, arriba, andre, ole, ole.
I always say what I'm feeling. I was born without a zip on my mouth. Sometimes I don't even mean it. It takes a little while to figure me out.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody. Oh, it was Leadership Santa Rosa class. They were here getting a tour of the station a week or two ago, 3 weeks. I don't know. Time flies.
That's neat.
And they were asking me about bumper music. And, you know, do you play music? And I was like, yeah, one of them. And I said, yeah, we do. And in fact, what I try to do is I try to pick fun music so that you get just enough of that feel of like the morning drive mm-hmm. music where it's like, oh, it's fun. We're listening to the cool music. And now we're talking politics again. You know, like. Just to have
you
hope.
Make politics. I never thought I'd be listening to a news radio station ever.
I never thought I'd be working at one. So here we go. I've told you that. We're like
yeah.
When I was when the job in Oregon went away and I had to find another one, I was like, all right, you know, Lord, don't make me do mornings. don't make me do local news. And I kind of halfway say, I don't know that it was as firmly formed, but I was like, I kind of don't want to live in the South, you know, just, I don't know, the heat, you know, and welcome to Pensacola.
See, you should try worshiping Christ.
Oh, yeah, that's
what
I should
do,
you know.
Lord.
But hey, I was open to the leading,
oh,
nevertheless,
I got it.
You know, but maybe, you know, if you got a prayer you want to answer, maybe don't come to me. Candy's
you are very good at your prayers, and I appreciate
on the five.
You,
no, my wife is a prayer warrior.
Boy, they're amazing. It says no crash. Okay, westbound 98 and Avalon is backed up. No crash. I'm guessing the traffic light is short cycling. 110 south, I'm reading text, exit to Brent Lane has an accident with fire and EMS on scene. One of those lanes is blocked. And again, that's 110 south, the exit to Brent Lane. We're also watching a few other slowdown stop between 10 Mile and West Roberts Road on Highway 29. That's southbound. 98 slow and possibly stopped westbound, as I mentioned, near Avalon and Gulf Breeze, backed up to Soundside Drive. And 98 is also slow in Winhaven. It's stop and go all the way through from the Publix in Winhaven to Parish Boulevard. Now, if you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. And again, that's eastbound in Winhaven. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. We got Steve Taylor sitting in this week for the vacationing David Wayne with our headline. Steve?
Well, President Biden is going to start wearing a mask again after the First Lady tested positive for COVID-19. The White House says Biden will mask up indoors and has tested negative. The press secretary said First Lady Jill Biden has mild symptoms and will remain in Delaware for the week as she recovers. Sort of related, an Ohio senators making a push to ban federal mask mandates. Republican J.D. Vance introduced new legislation that aims to prevent federal agencies from requiring masks on commercial airlines, public transit, and also public schools. It's known as the Freedom to Breathe Act, and it's also going to prevent those industries from refusing service to people who choose not to wear a face covering.
All right, thanks
so much. Headlines.
Thanks so much, Steve. 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. You got a kind of an interesting thing developing in Minnesota where they're going to get rid of their seal/flag because they're in the process of asking for better. Now, part of the problem with the Minnesota flag seal is it's too complicated. You look at it, you're like, what am I looking at? There's too many things going on here. And they want it, you know, you want a seal to be simple, you know, a couple of symbols at most. This one, the reason it's being objected to is because what it shows is you've got an Indian or Native American riding a red-headed horse. It's kind of funny looking in the background with a spear, I think, kind of leaving the field where the farmer is plowing, and he's got a rifle next to him on a rock. Like he just fended off the attack of the Indians, and now they're leaving. And somebody thinks maybe they shouldn't be sending that message to the Dakota and the Ojibwe tribes that reside there. Also, it's cluttered, okay? They are the 67th of 72 state flags in terms of clutter.
Local news every hour and breaking news.